Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It didn't work. There it goes.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com. We are the official barroom chat for everything Toronto Blue Jays baseball, from game highlights to rumors and all the stuff in between. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-host Jason Lyons and Liz McGuire. Now let's talk some Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to a fun evening of way too many people on our panel this evening, but we also are going to have a wonderful evening tonight on Jay Bird Watching. Liz and Jason are here with me, as always. How are we two doing?
I'm delightful. And delighted.
Jason.
Who's on mute?
Jason, you're muted, my friend.
Oh, it makes me laugh every time. I'm doing great. It is weirdly hot in Vancouver this week, or just started yesterday. And it's that mixed with going back, you know, the kids going back to school and all the awesome construction that's going on in this city. It's a little bit antsy around here right now, but it's nice to just chill out for a minute and talk about baseball.
And apparently we're also going to just talk about hot dogs and other baseball paraphernalia.
We look like the weirdest episode of the Brady Bunch. This looks like the weirdest start of the Brady Bunch ever.
Yeah. And to that point, Jason, we have our friends, the Looney Hot Dog Kings, Ryan and Jody. How the hell are you guys doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing great. Ryan looks like he's freezing up here a little bit, but
frozen dog,
frozen hot dog there. So we'll see if we get him back. But we're doing good. I like that. What's the other line you hear Mike Hogan say on the radio all the time? I'm gruntled.
Yeah,
the opposite of disgruntled. So yeah, no, it's all good. There's Ryan. You're moving around a little bit.
Ryan, how are you?
Oh, I'm running the show on my own now. I want to be Looney Dog number one.
Well, this is it. This was our plan the whole time. We've now dethroned and changed the order.
Number one.
It's a coup. It's a nitrate-filled coup.
So on that note, Jody, while we're waiting for Ryan to get lag free for 5 seconds here, how the hell have you been? What's the Blue Jays up to? And obviously, you're there every Looney Hot Dog evening. Give us some insight to what you guys have been up to.
Oh, it's been a another fun season, hanging out on the porch, loving the new parts they've been adding in with. I mean, they have Dee, who you guys might know, who runs the in stadium on the Jumbotron. He's often the host that comes around and hangs out with us. He is just a ball of energy, and I know he's involved in a bunch of other projects. Check him out. He's just a wonderful guy. He's actually let us talk a few times, you know, when they're doing this, like they're adding us into the script. It's been a lot of fun to really interact with that. We set a goal at the beginning of this season to try to reach 300 hot dogs between the two of us. between the, I think it's 13 games this year, which we thought was fairly achievable and we would overrun it. But I think we have to do about 26 hot dogs each, or collect 26 hot dogs each for the end of the season, but about 26 a game to get there now. So we're running a bit behind schedule.
That's possibly doable. There's two more Looney hot dogs.
More games, but we're gonna have to, or maybe it's 28. Like it's we're gonna be pushing some of our top numbers for a couple of games in a row.
You gotta prep for that.
And gotta call in the lefty.
Might have to. And I'm I've been challenged this year. I've had a couple of bouts of jaw surgery that I've been dealing with. So not to pull a Kobayashi
injury,
jaw arthritis, as we learned on Labor Day weekend there. I'm not trying to pull it there, but Ryan's been pulling the greater weight on this season to keep our numbers up. So,
can we go crazy and maybe blend a few hot dogs and you can drink like a shake?
Oh, I would, you know what, for it to count, I would.
I know you would. That's why I said it.
Yeah. You're a true hero. What has been the trend? You know, like, has the suit kind of got a little tighter as the year goes on? How do you stay fit being a hot dog, kind of, I wouldn't say eating athlete, but representative, as well as, I guess, you know how they have like those walkers in the Olympics? They don't run. They're speed walkers. You know, you're not, as you've said before, you are not a competitive speed eater, but you eat for power. So has the suit changed at all?
You'd be surprised how many people come up to us and they're like, 10, we could do 10 and no problem. We're like, go right ahead. Like,
I did 8 once and my shoes wouldn't fit after 8 hot dogs. I never did it again.
No, but that 7th hot dog is for me is the wall. Orion's is a little bit higher with his being able to have taken on as many as he has now. He's hit a new threshold for that. But yeah, once you get to that 8, 9, 10, that's a bit challenging. But how's it? The suits, I actually know, like, these are just like off of Amazon. There's nothing,
about
them. They're one size fits most. We fit about most of it.
Yep.
And, so they're filling out a lot.
That's what I reckon.
I should do some exercise in between. Yeah. My wife, in all honesty, makes me take a blood test before the season and after the season.
She's a good woman.
To her chagrin. Yeah. I keep passing it, so she's disappointed that I'm not more unhealthy.
You know what that is, Joey? Jody, that's the baseball gods just saying, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Be fine.
Don't worry about it. Get him to the ball. He's just got to win.
Somebody came out on the porch last week or on Tuesday and was asking us, what's your favorite brand of hot dog? And my first response is, are you like a spy for Schneider's trying to out us on something here? But no, as it turned out, they were just curious. And I realized – I don't eat hot dogs outside of the game. You know, you hit it season. Like, you know, I'm getting 26 hot dogs in, you know, in a month, over 2 nights. I'm okay. I can wait a couple of weeks after the season before I hit up a Costco for a $1.50 dog there. Right.
So. That's expensive though. It's $1.50, you know,
comes with a drink. So
that's true. And yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like the answer is thank you, Schneiders. Thank you, Maple Leaf Foods.
Oh yeah, they've been quietly, because we don't have any direct contact with them, but they have been very generous through the Blue Jays and through our contact on the game day piece there.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give Schneiders a shout out because they were really good to me when I got hurt at the baseball game. They gave me $110 of meats and they hooked me up with the like fancy executive seats. And they did reach out to me and they were so nice to me. So thank you, Schneiders.
There we go.
Everyone, so in case you need another hookup there, Jody.
What's that?
in case you need another hookup there, Liz has got the inside track.
Here's the hard part, right? Like we have the Schneider's porch. We have our nice little reserved corner that they put us in. We love it. It's great. And believe me, the suits are made for standing, not for sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, wouldn't it be totally exciting and completely distracting if there was two Looney dogs sitting behind home plate? On a Tuesday night during the broadcast, like, you know, I'm just saying, if Schneider's is listening, you know, we can go on an off night. We'll try it.
Especially if we're umpire like level.
Yeah, you remember those guys?
Those guys were awesome too, just like you guys are.
It would be funny too. Doing the punch out and everything. Now that you've mentioned it, Jody, it would also be funny if they just randomly put you guys to play like in different seats during the game, and so that the camera would sort of pan to the pitcher and you'd be just over the shoulder, and then they go to the outfield and it would look like you got, you know, do you remember that weird, I can't remember what movie they were doing it for, but they had the people planted in the baseball stadium that were just staring at the camera. And they, yeah, that one.
Where smile. They
we could do the same with cured meats.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that rocks. Yeah. Various cured
why
meats.
Why am I not marketing? This is, I mean,
oh, rainbow.
I'm wasting my time here. Not marketing meat.
Well, and it's, and
you
it's,
gotta help market this show, and we get some more follows for our friends, the Looney Dog Kings here.
It's true. We still get quite surprised at how many people we see showing up at games in suits. You know, that they brought their own and are taking part in it. It's fantastic. It's you know, we're not. We had early on in this whole process, we had somebody stop us on the train and very tentatively ask us, "Are you guys the are you the famous hot dog guys?" And to which I asked, like, are there other 40, 50-year-old men trying to pass themselves off as hot dogs?
That are less famous.
I think we are the famous ones. Like, I think we're the ones you're looking for. Yeah. But
these aren't the hot dog guys you're looking for.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But we've never been, you know, we've never been exclusive on this. We think it's just a hilarious, a fun thing to do, and to see other people doing it too, and going out there and trying to do as many as they can.
Wouldn't it be totally awesome if someone's listening to this right now in another hot dog suit, thinking they're the top hot dog dressed up guys, and just having their world shattered by finding out they're not the famous hot dog guys?
You can fight them.
Yeah, you could.
I'm gonna
put Ryan back on the chat because I didn't know if he can actually hear us or he's just the video feed's not coming through. But Ryan, you there, buddy? I guess we'll give him a couple more minutes, but Liz, yeah. I'm sorry.
I had I'm going to dig to your origin story. I had a question through Twitter saying, I got a question through Twitter because I put a call out to the homies today to be like, any questions for our friends? And the question is it's from Beverly B. And her question is,
hi, Beverly.
Why the heck did you start wearing hot dog costumes to Jay's games? What made you become the legend you are?
So we hear this a lot, and the first thing I have to do is correct Beverly. These are hot dog suits. We don't call them costumes because superheroes wear suits. And when this started to become a thing, one first question we asked ourselves was, well, what do we call these, right? Like, you know, and that's how we determined it. So superheroes wear suits, so these are our hot dog suits. So how did it start? It started really as a joke on my kids. Ryan and I were sharing some season tickets, and by sharing I mean they were Ryan's tickets. He just couldn't go during the week, so I took them. So I was going to a lot of Tuesday night games, and as I mentioned, my wife was worried that you know, I'm eating too many hot dogs at these games, and my kids are selling me out, going, "Dad, you're only going because of the cheap hot dogs." And this was all before the hot dog suits. And that went on for a little bit, for one of those quarter season packs of tickets. And, so as it kind of finished off, we said, Ryan and I said, well, why don't we go out and we'll just have, you know, we'll just eat as many hot dogs as we can and see what we can do. And I think we ate each like about 7 or 8 hot dogs. And we went back, you know, to our friends, and they were saying, you know, 7 hot dogs, anybody can do 7. And we're like, come on, like, you don't know how hard that was. It wasn't as easy as you like to think it is. So that we thought was sort of the end of it. And so fast forward now to the August, and my kids are going to a game. They've got some friends. They're all from out of the country. The first game they're going to, they were playing the Cubs. The Jays were playing the Cubs, and I like the Cubs as my National League team. So I'm like, okay, let's, you know, do you mind if I join along? And they're like, Dad, don't, you're just going to embarrass us. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. So I wrote to Ryan and I said, hey, how about one more? Because we've been taking grief all summer about the 7 hot dogs. I said, well, how about we go one more time? He said, let's just get a pile of hot dogs. He said, I just want to order like 30 hot dogs. I want to build a pyramid, go out on that WestJet flight deck and just start eating them and see how many we can get through. And then if like a home run comes out that way, then like maybe it explodes and we get them all hit and we see what happens, right? Let's just, in fact, I might have ordered a pair of these, and I sent him a picture of the suit. And he was all in. And I'm like, great. So we ordered the suits. We go to the game. We get ourselves a about 20 hot dogs, and we just
start crushing.
But it started doing the count. Started doing this. We figured we get up on the Jumbotron. My kids sitting up at the 500 level would see it. One of them would look and go, "Is that our dad?" And that would be the joke. Instead, in the fourth inning, we end up in the broadcast with Buck and Dan talking about the two guys in the on the flight deck, and are we to believe that those guys have eaten 20 hot dogs by the fourth inning? And we were done. Like, we had had enough hot dogs at that point. But now, like, our phones are blowing up. They're like, they're talking about you on the game, and we're like, well, we can't stop now, because if we stop now, it looks like we were just faking it. So we negotiated, Ryan said, maybe we'll do six. And I said, well, maybe we should do eight. And then we ended up at 10 more and ended up with 30 hot dogs that night. And then a legend was started. Like, after that, it just, like, I couldn't, the fact that we're doing this today is just, to me, still, I don't know how it keeps going.
So wait, you guys aren't located in Toronto though, right?
No. I'm out Hamilton Way. Ryan's out in Niagara.
So what made you keep coming on a hot dogging?
Well, so Ryan's a big, much, much bigger baseball fan than I am. That's more so, how about a baseball attending fan than I am? I like watching it from the comfort of my sofa. So, if I'm offered tickets, I'll go. That's usually the way it works out. So after that first game, a group of season ticket holders reached out to us. They love what we were doing, and they offered us tickets to do it again. And in fact, on the second time, they were doing it as a bit of a fundraiser to like a jump rope for her, like, how many hot dogs will you eat? People contribute some money to that. So they weren't putting any requirements on us, but we tried to do as many hot dogs as we could. They gave us a few extra tickets. I bought a few extra suits to bring another guy along in a hot dog suit and another guy in a mustard suit. And we ate hot dogs to help raise money for underprivileged kids to take them to a game. And after that, through this season ticket group, they brought 45 kids to a game. And
nice.
It was really, really nice. And as thanks to that, they offered us some more tickets. So
hot dogs for heart right there.
Yeah, hot dogs for heart.
There we go. It's not contradictory at all.
Snyder's on the phone here. So that was sort of how it kind of kept going. The first game we did it, we got on the broadcast. Second game we did it, not a thing, not even a boo or a pass by on the camera. So again, we weren't doing it to get seen. We were just having fun. It was kind of a crazy thing, and it made people laugh, and it just was there. So, but come playoffs, two seasons ago, the CTV's reaching out to us as knowing that we like baseball. They're like, you guys want to be on the show and talk about the playoffs. The Toronto Star has done a number of articles that have included us in it. We just seem to keep appearing places, and it's been fantastic.
I don't know if you guys have seen who the previous, like, Looney Dog Night mascot was before our heroes showed up.
I'm gonna say no.
It was a looks like a loony, literal loony.
Oh,
it looks like
that.
It looks like a bank mascot. I don't know if you've interacted, but into 2017, he was my favorite Blue Jay out of all the Blue Jays because they were such trash. Have you interacted with Buck lately? What's your relationship with, like, with that giant loony? Not even a dog or hot dog. He's just a loony with arms.
I know. My daughter was friends with somebody who worked at the stadium who used to be the person who would walk Buck around. Now, I did not know that context when I was at the game, and my daughter said, "You won't believe this. We just saw Buck." I'm thinking Martinez.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you not call me and tell me? So then the next game she did. And then I get there and it's a giant loony. I'm like,
yeah.
this is not the payoff I was expecting.
Just to be this guy, would it happen to be, as I'm trying to hurry up and click buttons here, would it happen to be this one?
That's what
I found the photo proof. Just that saying.
That's Buck.
In Buck's defense, trying to get a mascot that can't move their hands and can't frankly see to sit on a teeter-totter with, like, nearly 500 pounds on the other end of it, I don't know. There was a lot of trust going on in this picture right here.
This is That's adorable.
Awesome.
I'm not gonna lie. The Looney mascot is like full T-Rexing during this whole thing.
Yeah, he is.
Ryan and I reminds me of the Dumb and Dumber where they're riding on the back of the moped together. Like,
yep.
Hey, Buck.
Trade the van straight up for this hog.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's not
like you had a question.
Me? No, I was just coughing.
Got it.
Just staying alive, breathing here.
Pictures.
Oh, well.
Wearing the Savannah Bananas shirt or hat, right?
Well, we went out. It's funny to say staying alive. We went out for an episode of the Comedy Bar for Baseball Town, and the host there, we brought him a suit to wear while we were doing that. Craig, if I could have got you one, I would have. But to that point,
good friend of the show, Scott Belford. We love him. You know, when I was actually up at the Cabal game, I hung out with him and Liz and his wife Taylor. So it was a great time. So what happened at that baseball town? Because there had to have been some shenanigans with a comedian and the two goofballs like yourselves at that event.
Yeah, they left us pretty good. We were all right, and with that, but we had Scott wear the suit, and about halfway through the interview, he's like, you know, as a comedian, I appreciate your commitment to the shtick, because he was melting in the suit under the lights as after just a few minutes, and so yeah, staying alive, Jason. That's sometimes that's what the games feel like.
Yeah. we're out there. I can't imagine sometimes, you know, just even it must just get tough as you're in the seventh inning in a warm, you know, a warm afternoon or warm evening. And you're just like, God, I would do anything to just get this thing off or have a fan in it or something. But, it's you guys do yeoman like work. You know, and it's fun. The one thing I like is there was a time there where there was a bunch of different, there was ketchup and mustard and a bunch of other, you know, condiments and add-ons and all that stuff. So super fun.
And that's what it's, you know, I'm going to get, let me get a little existential here. Like one of the things I have really found interesting in this whole social experiment, let's call it that, of doing this is this, you know, making friends in this niche sort of thing. Like so there's like baseball fans you see at games and regular and you chat about this, but these are guys, like there's the two of them, Andrew and John, and another fellow filling in for Mustard, Jag, who's been coming out, another a couple of guys who come out as hot dogs as well, and just join us on there. It's become a little bit of a community, and it's really been interesting to see sort of the building of these friendships around something so innocuous as eating $1 hot dogs. Like it's not. You know, I'm trying to think of where else are you going around to hang out with people with similar interests. You hit a certain place, right?
I met up with you guys in Cleveland because were out there. Yeah, and it was like you obviously weren't hard to find. We were close to one another. Wow, it was hot that day. How did you not die? It was like 35, 36. It was hot.
Yeah. We. People say, like, when they see us on the train after the game and we're wearing the suit still, and they're like, you know, some people are like, oh, you're just trying to get the attention. I'm like, you have no, we don't know what it's going to look like when we take these things off. Like, the we have no idea how bad the shirts are going to be stained. We don't know what. So you're really just trying to just manage getting home in some sort of, you know, decent situation. But you were talking about the suit, and now that we got Ryan back. You were talking about the suit and
Ryan,
and getting the air conditioning. I'll give a shout out. Like Schneider reached out through the Blue Jays earlier this year and offered to make us custom suits, and they've designed what we have sort of referred to as our formal wear now. This gorgeous suit. It's got the back cut out of it. It's much more airy. It's a little bit more. Comfortable to wear for temperature wise. It has a harder outer shell now
with and a white
paper wrapper, which is a great little addition to the suit. So it makes it a little bit more cumbersome to wear. I don't think we could ever sit in that. And certainly it doesn't fit my backpack the same way as two or three of these do. But we were just so happy to get this. It showed up on our doorstep literally as this 5-foot box, like a garment box with them hanging in there. So we're still trying to work out a couple of ways of getting some modifications to it, a little bit more practical. The guys, Mustard and Ketchup, showed up last game. Mustard's mom put pockets.
That's beautiful.
Pockets in the suit. Painting.
Evolving. I feel like that's what if I don't know if you've ever worn a dress, but when a woman or a girl gets a dress, if it has pockets, the first thing they say is it's got pockets, like it's a big deal.
I'm a girl dad, so that was the first thing I said to Mustard was, oh, it's just like having pockets in a dress.
Exactly.
I don't know that he received it in the intent that you would have wanted to say that, but.
That's interesting.
I came in and Chris was talking about the heat, the fan and everything. And Andrew, the guy who dresses up as Ketchup, actually one time had a back of the neck like fan that just sat around his neck.
Yeah, I've seen people wearing those things. Yeah. A lot of times when the kids play baseball in really hot places, the parents are wearing these weird little neck fans that sit around the they look like old weird headphones that they're wearing around their neck.
Yeah, they even have some now that are like you put it on your belt on your pants and it blows up and gets your shirt like kind of like a puss out.
Down would be better.
I don't think there's enough give on this to get any air in the front of this, but a little bit on the neck.
What's that point? You guys are like athletes. You have your sweated out hockey sweater that you got to ditch after the game and get rid of it, and you wore it like a battle that evening, right? After you crushed 26 freaking hot dogs or 30s between the collective group with you.
Yeah. Well, and for those that don't know, when we do the count during the game and we do the count, on that, it's just Ryan and I's numbers. So we don't. There's more people with us. They keep their own count, but the only official number. Lower O air quotes is what Ryan and I are doing. So I'm not proud of it, but that's the cross we bear on that, I guess. But
respect. So there's another question on Reddit, and people were fighting about it when you're
Reddit, you too.
Well, it was a Toronto Star. When you guys were in the Toronto Star, people were talking about you all over the Reddit. And one of the things they were fighting about was, do they pay for their own hot dogs?
The short answer to that is yes. Now I don't mind being transparent. Like I've said before, Schneider's been very generous with suits and even with tickets. The Blue Jays are generous in giving us a gift usually at the beginning of the year to kind of help us cover some of the costs. I never use it for that. I often give them away and let others take the benefit of it. So we do, it's a dollar hot dog. I don't need, that's the one. Don't need there. The greatest thing they've given us is the reserve spot on the porch, because it's not even that it's a seat. It's just that when we're coming from out of town, taking the train, and you're going into a standing room only place, we don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to have a spot. Like we know it's there when we get there.
That's the best part for us. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, you don't think it's like what's it worth? It's not worth dollar value, but to not have to rush and get there and just know that you have a spot, like that's really worth the, when you get to my age and you're moving slower, that's good enough. I'm happy. I don't want to be tasting blood as I'm running from the train to the dome.
Hero.
So Jason, I don't know if you've gotten any questions you would love to throw at these two gentlemen, but I got a couple.
No fire. I mean, I do. I certainly do. It was interesting when I mentioned to a couple of my buddies and some of the kids that I know are regular listeners, and they all seem to be pretty excited just to have you guys on. They love the story. And it's funny because through this, we've even talked about the Vancouver Canadiens have clinched. So they're going to be in the playoffs and they're looking for back-to-back Northwest titles. And so we were just talking as a group of idiots and thinking, wouldn't it be funny if we somehow could rent Mountie outfits or even go, we were thinking going full denim, like denim tip to tail, like full on Canadian tuxedo. Cause my buddy has four seats that are right in the front row, right behind home plate. Like, I mean, there's nowhere for the visiting team to look, but right at us. And so, the more we could bother them, I think the more fun it would be.
Yeah. Be careful because you never know when it might just take off, right?
I know. Well, I could do that. I could wear denim. I could rock a full denim suit.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of country.
The American in the room. Isn't that a nickname for that thing when you wear a denim, like full
Canadian tuxedo?
Canadian tuxedo.
It's our formal wear.
Yeah.
Well, I keep joking with Ryan.
I wish I had formal wear that was that cool. Just saying.
I keep joking with Ryan that I would love. Like, it's always been a passion of mine to try to get on the Amazing Race Canada. Like, I just want to run the race. And if I had to do it in the suit, I totally would. Brian had that same attitude when we joked when we first started doing this. Like, what if we could throw out the first pitch? And I'm like, you know, you'd have to wear the suit. And Ryan was like, if that's what I have to do to do it, no problem.
Have you done it?
Throw out the first pitch?
Yeah.
What was that season like? We had the chance to do that. That was an amazing opportunity.
Did you guys see Ludacris last night with the giant arms?
What was he? That? I mean, I know what it is.
Okay, so the whole thing stems from a video that he did that was very Atlanta Braves, Atlanta. Yeah. He's from Atlanta. And that was the whole thing was that the bobblehead was of him with the big arms and the big giant shoes. And that's what. And I'll tell you this, for you know what he did, he threw That's out amazing. A better pitch than the majority of people that have thrown out pitches.
Yeah.
And I you got to give him some props. And he was, you know, had those big giant ass shoes on, and
it was taped to his hand. He like it was great.
It was a strike. It was low in a way. It was low in a way. But I'm a bad umpire, so I'm giving him that strike.
We had Tim Mesa and Eric Swanson lined up in the batter's boxes to catch our pitches. Ryan threw a strike straight into the mitt. I threw a strike straight over the plate, which was not where Eric was lined up. So went right back to the backstop.
Who threw the first pitch that hit that poor guy right in the sack? Was that 50 Cent?
No, 50 Cent. It flew way off.
Was wide left.
Yeah. Somebody nutted a cameraman right in the bejewels.
That's legendary. Like,
it was a good one. Yeah. Heater to the nuds. Anyways, when can we talk about when can we talk about how much we don't like Kyle Schwarber?
Like now. Let's go.
Right now. I gotta throw one more hot dog conversation before we talk Blue Jays for the first half of the show here. So your guys, like, you know, I'll say as far as hot dog culture is concerned, last week was, I'd say, the Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup playoffs of the best hot dog eating contest, guys, in Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi. I saw you guys tweeting about it. Tell me about it. You know, Ryan, maybe I'll let you go first, seeing you're just getting into the show here a little bit. But what was it about? You know, tell the Blue Jays fans about, you know, the fun here that is obviously competitive eating outside of casual Blue Jay eating.
He's on a 2-second delay.
Yeah, very much.
Well, you have to do that with hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, like it's stuck right here kind of level, right?
Yeah. Give him a second.
I was it's funny you would say it, Craig, because I was buzzing through Netflix and I saw it come across and I was like, oh wow. Like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched any of the other stuff, like the Legend of the Swamp Kings and Receiver. If you guys haven't watched Receiver, even if you're not a fan of the NFL, it will shine a whole brand new light on five or six guys that are in the NFL. And you're just like, immediately, you're like, I've become a fan of all of you now, knowing your story. Justin Jeffries is the one that really, like, I mean, he's two different people. And as soon as he puts on his chains and his other stuff, he actually physically transforms into a different person that talks a different way. And that's Jet. That's the guy who goes out and is the best receiver since Randy Moss. You know, it's a really cool. And then to see Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut come up on the Netflix, I was like, whoa, here we go.
Yeah. Do we have you back there, Ryan?
I think he's struggling.
So that yeah, you might know, and I'm hoping I get the facts right. Nathan's hot dog eating contest, they've got a competitive eating league now, or like a, yep. in part with that. And the guys who are sitting sort of at that upper echelon that have their own sponsorship and stuff like that, it was a bit of a situation where they didn't want to give up that, and it's more lucrative for them to not be part of it, I guess. So they ended up neither of them being in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, the most famous one, which Netflix just jumped right in and took hold of the opportunity and put them on a head-to-head with a slight alteration of what would be competitive eating rules, things, again, I'm just learning about. But watching the two of them go at it, and the whole buildup, I was quite surprised. I thought it would be, you know, a bit of fluff, but the exercise that's done that. I remember a guy named Furious Pete, who was in the Ontario region, who did a competitive yeah. He's amazing. I watched him eat a 72-ounce porter in 10 minutes. It was like wild. Kudos to him. But watching them, like Kobayashi's strategy, drinking 3 gallons of water before or on the day of eating, just to stretch out the stomach before he gets going. And Joey Chestnut, we did get a chance to talk to Joey a little bit on the opening night of last season. That he came in to do the first pitch and all that with the opening of the Schneider's porch. So we got a little one-to-one time with him, and it was pretty fun to try to. We talked to him about, of all things, a kimchi eating contest. I heard he'd done some of like, was interested in other things, right? I'm sure everybody talks about hot dogs. So we're like, you know, what else are you eating? So we talked to him about a kimchi eating contest, and he had tried, he bought all the stuff at Costco. He was, you know, had a good rhythm going and the volume, but then he got over seas, and it was, the fermentation was so much stronger with the real stuff that like, he goes, I lost to a guy in a bar. Like it was like,
yeah,
just couldn't even compete. So it's an amazing thing to see. It's a different athletics, it's a different feat of what they're doing, but man, it's amazing.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, right when Kobayashi was sort of taking a bit of a step back, there's some questions about him being sick and have actually done some damage to his body, and yeah. They were showing, it was the first time they'd sort of showed competitive eaters and what they go through and what they can eat and how they prime. And I remember watching one of the guys, I can't remember who it was, it wasn't one of the big names, go against Kobayashi in a, I think it was a jalapeno poppers or something like that. And just to watch these guys like hammer these things down and just no remorse, no stopping, no pausing. And he demolished Kobayashi at this. And it was funny to hear them talk about, like, the one guy is like the best turkey leg eater in the, and one guy is, you know, Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut had hot dogs, but they both were chicken wing guys. They both crushed chicken wings. And these other weirdos that do like pickled asparagus and like, there's all kinds of weird stuff that you know, they have contests to eat. So, you know. Good for America.
I feel like we're like 2 seconds away from ESPN 8, the Ocho here, and love it. Slap fight.
Love it.
Just saying.
Slap Ryan, fight's coming. Slap fight's coming to Vancouver.
Yeah. Ryan, looks like you might have caught up to our lag level. Do you got anything you'd like to weigh in here? And I'll give you a second to catch up on the delay.
Man, I am so sorry about this. I don't know what's going on with my signal, but yeah, I was watching that Netflix special. I loved it. And I employed Kobayashi's technique before this last Looney Dogs night, and I drank a ton of water during the day to try and stretch my stomach out. And honestly, it was the best I felt at the end of a game until I chugged my ginger ale. But... In terms of the hot dogs, it was the best I've felt in a long time with them.
Good stuff. So I invited you guys on, obviously, to talk nothing but hot dogs and goof around, but we want to actually talk some Toronto Blue Jays-isms this evening. Obviously, we got plenty of people listening into the live cast tonight, so please, on episode 424 of the Toronto the Jaybird Watching Podcast, make sure you get your questions in on whatever live stream you happen to be listening in on for all of us here to chit-chat to. Make sure you hit us up. We'll make sure we display it here for everybody to talk about and get you the shout-out here on the podcast. On that note, the last week in Toronto Blue Jays baseball has been every low, every high you can humanly have, including the fact that I was very teased to the fact that Tuesday evening that I thought we were actually going to take it to school and watch the Philadelphia Phillies actually get spoiled by the Toronto Blue Jays. And unfortunately, the ninth inning happened. And you all know how that unfortunately ended. And to Jason's mention of Kyle Schwarber earlier and our, I'll say, horrific bullpen at this point. But in all reality, Ryan, I'll let you go first if we as we got you here. What was your feelings over the last week? And obviously a loony hot dog night in the midst of that.
Oh, it's been so tough, right? Because there's been some great signs recently. I mean, Bowden Francis, oh my goodness, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Like, just unreal.
And I were there on that night. That was that day. It was awesome.
Oh my goodness. And the young guys are hitting, and Vlad's hitting, and George is sometimes hitting, and like everything seemed to finally be going right. And I'm in a group chat with a bunch of baseball guys, and on the first game that Green blew, this one guy, he's like, hey, does Schneider even know how to manage a bullpen? And I'm like, dude, you can't blame Schneider. Yeah, Green was 16 for 16. Hardly has given up a run all season. But
well, I'll jump in there.
The suspense is going to kill everybody.
I know, right?
I remember reading on that game with a tweet about you know, when Chad Green came back in on the second game, you know, an opportunity to redeem himself. And I just saw the follow up reply narrator. He did not.
He did not.
I think we're asking a lot of Chad Green though. Chad Green is not necessarily a closer. He doesn't like to be a closer in the majors. You need heat. You need to be able to hover 96 and above.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And then your junk has to be spinning like crazy. And that's just not him. He was successful at the start because he was placing his pitches. His spin rates were high and he was getting strikeouts. Guys weren't touching him. But that's going to come to an end unless you can increase your velocity. Like, unless you can start to hang with the big boys and throw the ball past guys, it's just not going to happen. And I mean, I watched that Kyle Schwarber at bat live, and then I actually had to go back and I watched it a couple of times the whole way through. And I thought to myself, why even challenge him close to it? Like, why, exactly. You know, you've got nothing to lose to put Schwarber on base. Why challenge that pitch for a guy who, if you put balls down Main Street, he likes to put them in the stands? Like, and I got to give props to where they're deserved. The Philadelphia Phillies are an outstanding baseball team. They are so good.
I always say it. They're a real baseball team, guys. And we forget that because we've been lulled into a false sense of momentum, but they're a real baseball team.
They're good, man. Real good. And I'll tell you this, you know, as a, I've been a lifelong fan of the Phillies. I was a Mike Schmidt guy when I was young. And so they're my other team that I cheat on with the Blue Jays. So the big thing for me is that, yeah, everyone's fine with it. I asked Bryce Harper, he's fine with it. But the big thing for me is that, you know, I don't know if there's a better city to have a World Series in coming up here. I mean, you've got a team that's playing out of their mind. Yeah. If they make it to the World Series, whoever is the challenger is going to be in for probably one of the more entertaining, you know, I mean, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Schwarber. I mean, the list, and if Baum's healthy, like, I mean, we're looking at a brand new human, basically, in Jason Baum. I mean, that guy was awful 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Awful. Now he's possibly a Gold Glover this year. Like, and that's what excellence does. When you have excellence around you, it starts to turn you into better baseball players. So, I mean, I think the Jays got a lesson in what they should look like if they intend to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're very accurate with that statement as far as they've been riding a high a little bit with some of these kids coming up and watching literally the Buffalo Bisons just take most of the American League to school over the last few weeks, including a 15-0 game with Jose Berríos on the mound the other day. But this is exactly what you get with a young team that we're seeing right now as Blue Jays fans, right? You're going to see the lows. You're going to see the highs. We're hoping that they figure some things out that so that when 2025 rolls in, we might actually be able to do something with it. And to that point, that formula has worked very efficiently for a lot of Major League Baseball teams over the last few years. So there could be a lot worse things going on. They got to find some of these nice next pieces to be able to build off of and go from there. But to that point, as a Blue Jays fan, I've been more happy over the last month, month and a half than I have been all the beginning of the season. I'm actually kind of upset that baseball is only this close to being over with the fact that we do have a team that has been actually, I think I read the other day, we've been actually above 500 since the trade deadline, which is wild. So there was even a few people a couple of weeks ago that were saying that, hey, guess what? We're not eliminated yet. Maybe we have a chance because we've been winning and here we are. So, but to that point, I think you mentioned it the right way, Jody, that the fact that both Bowden Francis has shown that he can be something special maybe for this team. But, you know, what's going to happen? You get the Joel Profitos. You get what we've been getting out, Ernie Clement, who just going to say he was very well dressed in his Buffalo Bills jersey today on social media as the Buffalo near native here. So. But there's a lot of good things to build off of. And I'd be curious, as you guys have been to so many games this season, what your thoughts are for where this team has been and where it's going. Jody, I'm going to let you kick the ball off here.
Yeah, it's let me be frank. You know, I'd say you're a little distracting.
Frank is the hot dog guy in the room.
little distracting up on the porch here while we're trying to eat and apparently there's a game going on at the same time. But you're right. I mean, I've come into this season excited about the idea of running it back, the idea of you know, getting a chance to do it. And when things start faltering early, we talked about the hot dog suits being hot on a midsummer night and nothing to look forward to. It's hard. But as they've moved the team into the younger guys, and they have delivered, boy, it really gets you excited watching the way this thing. Like Addison Barger is one that I was iffy on coming in. I just anecdotally, but he's really come around to be consistent, a bit more consistent now. And like the whole Horowitz and Clement and even David Schneider, I still have a soft spot for him. I think the beard is hurting him. He has to go back to the just the mustache.
I wish that was his only problem, Jody.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a beard guy, I don't want to be critical. But respectfully with the play, that's one thing. But just the energy and the piece they're bringing to it. It's there. I guess my criticism, if I'm going to have one, is and Ryan and I have talked about this before. It's the idea that we have enough utility players, like enough that play so many different spots. It would be nice. And Matt Chapman signed a big deal today. You know, it's nice to have a third baseman who is just a really good third baseman. We don't need him to play left field and right field and second base. And it's nice when
they can just, everyday player. You know,
yeah, excel in one spot. So that's, you know, that's what I'm kind of hoping we see some settling in as we get into it. But I think we have a few players playing out of their best positions. And if we could get some consistency on that, maybe we'd see even better outcomes.
I mean, and it's interesting you would bring up Barger, because I watched Barger as a Canadian and he played third base. He didn't play anywhere else and he was great. You know, he's a very mobile, very strong. He's got a cannon of an arm. And I mean, I'd like to hear what everybody sort of thinks about this. Where do you think the biggest piece of need? We've brought this up a couple of times, but I think this is sort of morphed into the end of the season here. Like, what do you guys think the biggest position of need is? And where does that, you know, like, where does that step in? Like, Ryan, what do you think about, like just take everything aside, you know, and first just up. Say, yeah, full stop. We need a better third short baseman. Stop. Blah blah. Yeah,
shortstop.
Okay. It's shortstop. Like Bo's been great hitting, except this year. But we need somebody. My controversial opinion, actually, to go to a former Jay, is that Kevin Biggio should have played second base, and he should have been allowed to play second base every day, because when he did well. Yeah. And he was getting on base and he was hitting. And as soon as they started using him as a utility player, everything went down. Yeah. So that goes to what Jody was saying. Get guys who play a position, let them play that position. And that's why I'm confused that we don't see Barger at third base more.
Well, they want to get guys into the lineup. And unfortunately for the Jays, they're so infield heavy. If you want Barger's bat in the lineup, he's either got to play in the outfield or he's got to play third. And then if you want, okay, so now you have to put Vladdy in. So Vladdy either DHs, plays first or third. And then you've got,
Because you got Horowitz to play first, pushes Vladdy over to third.
Right.
Yeah, and Horowitz has played more games at second base than he's played at first.
It's so funny to think of the Jays as being infield heavy when – you know, you start the year with three center fielders out in the outfield.
Yeah.
Allen.
Which I loved. That I was okay with, because anytime you can have Dalton Varsho playing left field and not be defensively compromised in center field, you're in a good position defensively.
Yep. Yeah, very much so. So on that note, got a couple of silly questions I'm going to ask here for the end of the evening here. And then we got to somehow figure out how the two of you are going to fill in the guest spot on Picks of Clicks. So you're going to have to figure a blue jay between the two of you and do some kind of weird mind meld and figure that one out to put the guest spot actually still continuing to be in second place on our picks to click. So just letting that marinate for a minute before I ask these other stupid questions. And this is going to be collective for everybody because I want to just have some fun here. So obviously on Tuesday nights, you guys are just annihilating hot dogs twice a month, maybe three times, depending on the right month.
That's this month.
Outside of the hot dogs, what is your actual favorite food when you're not in your formal wear, like you mentioned?
Okay, now I'm gonna let Ryan think about that, but you know, frankly, like I mentioned, I don't know if it was off air or here, I've been going through some dental surgeries, so I'm already running at a handicap here with like missing like 8 teeth and I got my TV teeth in right now, so I look good for you guys.
Playing with an injury, my friends.
So what's my favorite food? Yeah, I'd love to be able to have something I could chew and enjoy. Like that would be nice to go back to, you know, sooner than later. If you want
my favorite dream food, then
tell you about all those. but yeah, no, I love a good pasta. I love a good. Okay, like my wife's not listening, she's kind of got into a vegan vegetarian. It's not that bad, you know. But I don't want her to know that. Like I don't want to encourage. But this whole little bit of
a plant not watching
her diet stuff. You know, you could do some nice things. So she's really done up some nice work as I'm trying to find that. But yeah, I'm one of those guys who loves. I just love food. So I mean, everything there. I went down to New York and was trying out all the different pizzas and stuff like that. Like that, you can't go wrong with that. Trying out Detroit style versus New York style versus Chicago style.
Love Detroit style. It's become a staple in this Nations. House.
What about you, Ryan?
I mean, number one for me, lasagna. That's my top. I'm a big burger and pizza guy. Best food item I have ever eaten is a steak from Blue Bloods at Casa Loma in Toronto. I got taken there. I did not buy my own steak, but oh my goodness, that thing was the best piece of food I've ever eaten.
There you go. Liz, seeing we're just going to go around the table here, and why
yeah,
not?
Man.
What outside hot dogs? What's your favorite food?
I got a little bit a different answer. It's oysters. I could slam so many oysters. Just it's not something you want to do on a hot baseball day. It's
with
not
a warm
really...
glass of milk.
Yeah, with a warm glass of milk, making a nice hot steamy hand food of some oysters at the ball game. Let's go! Don't do that.
Bad idea. So that wasn't on the Schneider's wonderful plate there in the midst
no,
of the crushed crab
just,
legs and everything.
That was just crabs and shrimps. If you, rich people, they have it made.
Just saying. Mr. Lyons, tell me your favorite food over there on the West Coast.
I am. Well, obviously, we're super blessed out here for sushi. I got into sushi a number of years ago, and I mean, we get the freshest of the fresh. I mean, unless you're on the, you know, on the East Coast, I mean, you're still not getting, and you know, a super fresh, but I will say this, and a pizza is a tough one for me to say no to, but I will say this. The best thing that I've ever eaten up to this point in my life is the tuna melt at Brass Fish in Vancouver here. And again, my wife loves tuna melts. I like tuna melts. I don't love them. I was told to get this thing, and it legitimately, halfway through, you stop and you're like, this is, I mean... it's off the charts. Fresh tuna. Unbelievable. Anyways, big up for Brass Fish.
I like the way the tuna melt made me see God.
Yeah. He had the whole, like, just dawning on moments like, oh, my God. Give me
I saw the starfish tuna guy is what I saw. Remember him? Remember Sharky? Wasn't that his name or something like that?
Yeah. I'm with you, though, on sushi, man. That
I mean, it's we've got a mother, we've got a father, a wife-husband combo in North Van here who separated and both opened restaurants, and they are both lights out good. But and I would never say one's better than the other because I wouldn't want to enter that dojo of fighting. But Mama G and Genji, I mean, they're both just lights out good.
I like how you got two Christmases out of that divorce.
I know.
There it is. So being the weird one here that is south of the Canadian border in Rochester, New York, we are incredibly spoiled with chicken wings here in Rochester, New York, being 5 feet from Buffalo. I've grown up even the pizza places around here in Rochester have the best chicken wings. But then when you go to that next level where you're getting the, I'll say the Anchor Bar Duff's or the, you know, something around here was Jeremiah's is the one here in Rochester, New York that has the level of chicken wings. Just can't, I cannot knock buffalo wings one bit. If I can get them every day and not die of horrible heart attack, like level acid in my stomach, I'd be eating those every evening. And to that point, just to, I tried a competition one time with the chicken wing eating contest and could not believe what the other people were doing in the show, literally just pulling it straight out and could not do it myself. And yep, never did that again in my life.
So, as I'm listening to all your answers, I'm realizing, yeah, I'm with Jody. I just love food because yeah, chicken.
Me too, 100%.
Well, to your chicken eating question, like I remember working in newspaper, and they put us up against a TV station in a rib eating contest at Rib Fest here in Hamilton, and they asked me to be part of the team, and I'm like, yeah, like who wouldn't want all you can eat ribs? I don't care if you have to do it in a speed eating. You chew on them after, who wouldn't want to do it? I'll tell you who. People who have to then deal with it for the next 24 to 48 hours. That's why people don't do it anymore. That's why I didn't realize there was so that's why we've kind of stepped away from the speed eating mass quantities piece there.
How'd you do in that rib eating contest, Jody?
I did really well. I got we came in second.
That's awesome.
Out of two teams.
But nice. We won. I don't want to speak poorly.
No, this is why this story that's coming is why I asked that question.
so we're and I have video if anybody ever challenged me. Anyway, we're up against the CHTV crew. They ate, I don't even know the number anymore. Let's call it 26. Right, we ate 28. And the host that was doing the count, he comes to the CH, how many have you eaten? They said, we've had 26. Then he comes over to the newspaper. He's like, how many have you eaten? We said, well, 28. And at this point, he'd forgotten what CH said. So we went back and said, how many did you guys eat? And they said, 29. And we all looked at him, and the host didn't realize it was a different number and just gave them the title. And I turned off my TV that day.
That's kind of like if a pitcher was just rolling along in the playoffs and a manager came out to take him out based on a made-up pitch count or something weird like that. I mean,
Interesting analogy, Jason. I see where you're going. Yeah. Same sort of bitterness. I think you could hold on to that.
Ouch. That one's still too soon, Jason. It's still too soon. So I got one last stupid question because I've known you guys for a little while now. And obviously your social media stuff pops up on our stuff all the time. You've had the pleasure of meeting a ton of people through the Looney Hot Dog Night stuff. I've seen a few celebrities, some guys that were on some certain Kin's Convenience shows and some other things like that. That was actually honestly another Star Wars veteran at the end of the day. Who have you gotten to meet in the midst of this process that you never in a million years would have thought you've gotten a chance to meet outside of obviously the fun here that you've been able to, you know, carve up?
I mean, to me, the moment was the first pitch. Well, Eric Swanson was fetching Jody's. sorry, Jody. I can't not do it. Tim Meza walks out. Yeah. Tim Mays is walking out to us, and I'm like, a Major League Baseball player is approaching me right now. And he says, you guys are awesome. We watch you every Tuesday night. And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah. Well, that's why that's fun. I'm so glad that you guys have gotten to that level that you get to have these experiences, because like the story that Jody was telling us earlier was literally just born out of, I'll say, just goofy shenanigans to, you know, spite your daughters and whatnot and have some fun. But to that point, you've turned it into something where you've obviously built a little community. You've gotten to meet a lot of great people, and then you get to do some fun things like that that you, I don't know, I wouldn't have that opportunity without doing something rather odd and goofing around like this and having being my weird self as it is, you know.
And it's been unique, for example. It's been unique as well. Like I haven't turned on another broadcast for another team and been like, oh, hey, there's a couple of guys in hot dog outfits. Like it's super unique. I mean, I don't know if you guys get the rugby sevens out there. Rugby sevens is a huge thing that happens.
Yeah.
in Vancouver, and everyone gets dressed up. It's an awesome community that I've come to find out that these people was actually websites and Facebook pages where they communicate about what they're going to wear as a group, so other people don't dress up as the same thing, which is awesome, you know.
Yeah, we keep it open. I think for me, just on that question, Craig, and it might not be the biggest celebrity, but the one that was most surprising to me was, and Liz, you'll know this, was in Cleveland when, you know, we go down to the game, we're seeing a lot of people from Toronto. That was just something that was going on. It was pretty cool. We saw Liz, but while we were waiting in line after touring the stadium to get our hot dogs, a fellow walks by, taps us on the shoulder, says, "I got to get a picture with you guys." And we turn around and it's Mark Shapiro. And we're like, you're the president. like you want a picture with us? Like, can we get a picture with you? Now, I've never seen more vitriol thrown at a post that we've put up.
Yeah, I found you. And the
only post
I've
ever had to turn me is a wonderful, horrible place.
Because he was kind. He was so nice and, you know, baseball and all the business side of it. So we had a great chat with him talking about how Looney Dog or Dollar Dog Night started in Cleveland, and how he carried it over to Toronto, and just sort of the business side of all that. It was a great time, and he took the time to like chat with us. It wasn't in passing. It was fantastic, and the fact that he knew who we were, and he was getting a picture to send it into their one of their VPs of not marketing but experience, somebody with the game experience. Just to show that we're still doing this at other stadiums. It just, you know, it really, we had heard rumor like the year before. I think Ryan had a friend down at a West Point event that Shapiro was speaking at. So the friend made a comment to Shapiro about those hot dog suit wearing guys. And Mark had made a comment about, "Oh yeah, they're great. I see them all the time." We took that as just being, you know, you're being polite. You
came
know,
on TV, right?
Yeah, like it was just something that was there, right? But so when this, it wasn't us chasing him. He came by and said hi to us. It was something that just, we both walked away from it going, so that just happened, you know, like, and much like Paul Lee when he swung by the porch. Now we will regularly tweet out a picture with us holding the empty suit to any celebrity that's in the stadium to come on by and get a picture. And we never expect anybody to actually answer the call on that. So when Paul Lee stopped by and actually, you know, was willing to put the suit on, it was hilarious. We had again another great chat with him just about being baseball fans, which I think for like someone like Paul, it's nice to talk about something other than, you know, when you're the center of attention for Kim's Convenience or Star Wars and things like that, it's fun to just talk about something else you're actually just interested in. It's not just your work. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, he's a basically a Blue Jays regular at this point. He's at a lot of ball games, which I'm glad that, you know, first off, I'm just glad to see other people and, you know, big, you know, celebrities interested in watching Blue Jays games outside of Geddy Lee, to Liz's point. And so it's good to see that community is bigger than just, you know, the people that we have on this show and goofing around and having a good time with other Blue Jays fans on the show. And you're obviously gentlemen like yourselves. But it's fun to see that the Blue Jays community is that much bigger than you would think sometimes. So it's fun stuff.
So the game,
I crossed off all my questions. So Liz, Jason, wrap the show up. I'm done.
No, well, Jody, what else you got? Jody, what you got?
Quick comment. So this was the, like, you talk about the spread of this in the community. We're riding the train home after the Baltimore game a few weeks ago. There's a family from Baltimore in their Orioles outfits standing right next to us, a couple of kids. We're still in our suits trying to cool down. And so we're like, "Hey, is this your first time in Toronto?" They're like, "Yeah. You know, how'd you like the game? Did you eat any hot dogs?" We give away stickers often to kids. People stop by with the pictures and chatting with them. And the husband says, "Did you guys go on the road with this?" He said, no, we basically just, we've done two games. We did Cleveland, we've been down to Texas for a non-Blue Jays game. He goes, "Were you in Cleveland for the Pride night?" And we're like, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, we saw you there." And I'm like, "You're from Baltimore. In Toronto,
we were at that game,
Cleveland, where we run into them. It's a small community. Like it doesn't seem plausible, the game this week, we had a French exchange student. A friend of mine came by with a French exchange student, a young girl from France, hanging out on the porch with us. She put on a suit for a couple of innings and had some fun. While we're doing this, a woman and her father stopped by. They're like, can we get a picture? I'm like, sure, no problem. We lean in to the picture. I noticed she got an accent. I said, well, where are you from? Because we get people from BC, people from New Brunswick, people from, you know, all Nova Scotia coming by all the time. You know, we see on TV. She says, oh, I'm from France. And I'm looking at this girl that's standing on the porch and this woman. I'm like, there's two people from France here together at a game, 24,000. I'm like, come here. Like, you know, where are you? I'm from Toulouse. I'm from, you know, it's just, it's like hilarious watching this community. There's another guy that night from the Philippines, his first baseball game. Why they want us, I don't know, but we are always just happy to embrace the silliness of what we do and hope that others enjoy it too.
I think it's because you've transcended two guys in hot dog suits and you're part of the culture, or you built a culture that wasn't there before. And I think has been sorely lacking kind of in this kind of management. And I don't want to, you know, diss Jay's management, but there's been a lack of, like, I don't know, grassroots, super fun. And I feel like you brought that back and it's been super refreshing and just super nice to have and just be a part of.
Thanks, Liz. I think you're right. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was just gonna say thank you.
I think
that was super kind.
I think so. Like, I truly believe that, like, if you look at this, you know, the renovations are awesome, they're really beautiful, there's so many places to be, but this whole team is very shiny, it's very corporate, right? You can't get close to the players, you can't get close to anything, but you know what? You're something that people can experience and be a part of. And that is, like, I think, so warm and so important to have. And I think that you provide a real kind of, I wouldn't say service, but a real, like, je ne sais quoi value of what it is to be in fandom and to be a fan and be a part of something bigger, right? Because there's something bigger with the Jays fan base and with fans also, kind of like I experienced, which was that when I was walking around the stadium with my black eyes, people were like, they would shout at me, they buy me beers, they'd like high five me, and I realized that there was something bigger here in a season where we didn't have a lot. At least we had each other.
It's pretty amazing, and it's just that it is an organic thing that's grown out of this. It's something I always, when we work with the game day people and pieces like that, there's so much we would love to do, but we recognize, you know, the show is the players, the game is the story. We're just, a part of that. And because of that, that we're not trying to insert ourselves into this and make it about us, I think is really, to your point, Liz, has really allowed it to grow in a way that we never thought would be possible. And it is approachable. It is fun. We make our own merch. We give it away. We have some fun.
Exactly. And to that point, we've talked about it on this show many a times. The Church of Baseball is meant to be fun, period. Simple as that. Doesn't Amen. Matter where you end up being, like you said, even in the midst of the whole being in Cleveland. Exactly. Amen. Right. Church of Baseball is meant to be fun. We're all going to be, and that's why we're here at the end of the day. We want to have fun. That's why we do this podcast. We enjoy interacting just like you guys do all day, every day with Blue Jays fans and baseball fans alike. So good stuff. Obviously, guys, I can't say enough cool things about what you guys do. I think Liz hit a nail on the head. Maybe she should be taking over my hosting duties. Just, you know.
I'm good.
Good deal. Liz is going for the cool. Like, I'm trying to get number one on the hot dogs here.
Yeah, there you go. So, but on that note, I want to make sure we can actually wrap this show up and, you know, get people back to their families and everything. We try to stick to an hour on the show, and obviously we are more than happy to have you guys here anytime you would want to jump in and hang out with us. We do got to get that thing that I never got to last off season with getting the Guess the Blue Jays contest with everybody going. You guys were going to be one of the teams, and we had some other teams going, and unfortunately the scheduling just, I never thought that trying to get six different teams on a schedule was going to be such a horrible nightmare that I found out to be. So there's the budget for the show here on the Jaybird Watching podcast, trying to get people on a schedule once a week. It's not working. So on that note, we want to end the show like we do every week with picks to click. Who is going to be the next best performer over the week of baseball coming? And we got to talk about last week first. So last week, excuse me, I had Dalton Varsho. Jason, you had Addison Barger. Liz, you had the cheat code that is Vlad Guerrero Jr. And the guest spot last week picked Ernie Clements. So you guys are the tiebreaker on that. I unfortunately don't think there's many ways I can cut this other than the fact that Vladdy probably won, but it's your guys' technical vote to tell who won out of the four people there.
It was Vladdy and I won.
Yeah.
I defer to Ryan here.
I can't argue with Liz.
Yeah.
Me either.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't either. Guy had eight hits last week.
I can stand on my Addison Barger.
I mean,
the only thing is all four of those picks collectively did pretty well last week.
Yeah,
the problem is Vlad was Vlad.
The only way you're beating that Vlad pick, maybe, is if you had chosen Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And usually, historically, on the many years we've been doing the pick the click thing here on the show, pitchers never win.
No.
Because you got to get a Bowden Francis player of the month level performance. Out of somebody to be
monkeys
able to
beat don't
hitters cramp. That play every day.
Yeah, monkeys don't cramp and pitchers don't win.
Well said, sir. And don't forget to raise the bar.
Yeah, thanks, Kawa.
So you guys are the guests on the show. Who do you two think will be the best Blue Jays performer over the next week in Blue Jays baseball? And right now, just to put the stakes on the line fully while you get a second to marinate on that one, the guest spot is currently tied with Liz in second place. Jason is winning with 7 wins. The guest spot and Liz have 5, and I'm in last place with 4.
All right, Ryan, so, what are you thinking?
I also can't pick Vladdy this week because I picked him last week. So Vladdy is open if you did want to pick him.
Correct.
I don't know. The first name that came to my head was Spencer Horowitz.
I was in that range. I don't know that Spencer was my number one, but he would have been in my top three. I can go with that. These young guys are gonna break out, and it's just he's been really
hot. He's been a good pick over the last few weeks.
What about Wagner though?
He's got a couple of wins.
He'd be a good one too.
Yeah.
I always say you're the baseball guy. I'm the eater, but even that's a little. Based on the numbers, but
okay, so let's go with Will Wagner.
Playing with an injury.
Will Wagner?
Wagner locking it in.
Locking it in.
Gotcha. Solid pick. Hell of a hitter. And I'm a very welcome surprise for Blue Jays fans. I've been very happy with Will Wagner. Yes. Liz, you are next. Who's gonna be the next person?
I'm gonna pick Ernie because he looked real cute in his little football outfit.
It's because I'm dying that he's a Bills fan. I'm just glad that he's, holding true to his Rochester, New York roots here where I'm from.
Is that a football costume?
Yes.
Yes. Football costume.
It's not quite a suit. Okay, Jason, who are you thinking?
Well, you know what? I feel like I've got a couple of wins. I feel like it's worth a chance. I am going to go Leo Jimenez.
That's a good one.
Leo!
Now I'm gonna preface it with this. You guys know who they're facing coming up, right? There is no good hitting pick for the next three games. I mean, they're getting thrown right into the draw. I mean, Chris Sale should probably win the Cy Young this year. And then that other guy, the guy who's pitching third, I mean, he's been unhittable for 3 weeks. He's got like 75 letters in his last name. What's it? Hold on. Schwellenbach. He's bringing Schwellenbach. Oh, yeah, they got Max Fried, Schwellenbach, and Chris Sale. Good luck. Just turn your bats around the other
rough.
Side.
Rough.
So, Leo Jimenez.
Lean in and get a hit batman. That's the best you can
bunt. For this point. Lift small, bunt the ball.
Just don't bunt to break up the no-hitter in that whole situation. That's breaking the Church of Baseball rule of ethics.
Yeah, you're going to wear one.
So, seeing I'm in last place, I'm going to steal the fact that Liz and nobody else here chose Vladdy because I need to stay in the game. I can't. I'm out. I started this thing 5 years ago, and I'm fucking losing. So, good deal. It is what it is. So, our friends, the Looney Dog Kings, Ryan and Jody, this is your shameless self-promoting plug. Please tell the Blue Jays fans where they can find you and anything you got going on. Obviously, trying to top your number here for the end of the season for the Hot Dogs.
I mean, the two places to find us are at Looney Dog Kings on any of the socials, and the other place is Schneider's Porch.
Yep,
there it is.
Anytime, happy to be there and happy to share.
Yep, and next game we will cross over a combined 600 Looney Dogs, 600 career Looney Dogs.
That's Big Ten. That's Hall of Fame status.
We're impressed with the number, but we're not proud. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're impressed with the number, but we're not proud of it. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't go around. I think you should resume of 600 hot dogs.
I think you guys got to start having like little patches you put on last 2023 season wins or whatever, you know, playoffs. How many number?
We actually do have a sticker. Like Jody said, we give out stickers to kids and people take pictures with. But we do have a special sticker called the Looney Dog, the 10 plus Looney Dog Club. So anybody who eats 10 or more in a single game can get one of those stickers.
I will die trying to join that club. I'm gonna do it.
The honor system, you know, like it's just.
I feel like there's a Jaybird watching invasion one evening on a Looney Dog night there that we're gonna have to see if we can match up with that. And
the honor system should
give us a heads up, and we'll bring you an extra suit.
Deal. The honor system should be if you can still walk or you're not wild puffy. I don't believe you.
I'm puffy to start with, so I don't know. I can't tell the difference. So,
there's a look to people who have eaten 10 months.
A glazed look,
like a waddle.
Yeah.
And half regret. No,
always
a little tear, shame.
Because you can get 8 hot dogs at once sometimes. So, like one time, I got so many hot dogs they put them in a tray, and then also the Blue Jays staff carried things for me because I had too many hot dogs and beers. Like I had a parade of sodium.
Don't worry about it.
The best thing that we've taken away from this at Rogers Stadium is the ability that we can actually bring our own food in.
Yeah.
Now we don't bring food, but we bring in our own array of condiments. So like we
that's a hot tip.
We have our own mustard, ketchup. We have a caramelized onion mayo, which is really nice.
Oh, phenomenal!
And all there you that. Go.
Missed an opportunity in the interview here for our favorite condiments and whatnot. Seeing you bring your own accoutrement to the game.
That's a hack.
Bay of them that we bring along. And it's,
that's a great hack. Next, that's next hashtag next level hot dogs.
There you go. Good deal. So does anybody else have any Blue Jays or hot dog related culture isms that they would like to get out before the end of the evening here?
All good, baby.
Game on. All right. Well, fellas, thank you very much for joining. Hang out for 2 seconds because we'd like to just say hi, bye to you before after the show here. But Blue Jays fans, obviously check out the Looney Dog Kings, find them on the Schneider's Porch and have a good time and join the community. Apparently, maybe there's some suits for you. Yeah. We'll see what happens, obviously, with our friends here. But thank you very much for listening to this evening of Jaybird Watching. We once again saw way too many of you in eyeballing the show and having a good time watching, but please make sure you can comment in wherever you happen to be listening. We want to talk to you. We are the People's Podcast, the Jaybird Watching Barroom Chat that we have here. We want to make sure we're having fun with Blue Jays fans and obviously the culture that is around the Toronto Blue Jays fun here. Next week, make sure you tune in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buds.
There is a big one next week. We have Todd Stottlemyre joining us on the show. So World Series champion Toronto Blue Jays joining us on the show. That is easily one of the biggest players we've had on this show in a long time. Obviously, no offense to you, Jody, or anything. We obviously had a wonderful time and love having you on the show. But
yeah, he's one of my favorite. I still remember the bleeding chin from his big slide in the World Series. So.
Scorpion.
That's still cooked into my brain from my childhood, and him just coming out there as a crazy looking SOB trying to mow down more Philadelphia hitters with the blood everywhere in the rain.
Yeah.
So, 'tis what it is. So make sure you join us next week with Todd on the show. We're gonna have some good times talking about baseball and his wonderful career post baseball that has been motivational speaking, and obviously being a mental coach is his big push at this point. So we're gonna have some fun talking with that. And obviously we are here every Thursday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. We are here to talk with all Blue Jays fans and have a good time with all of you. So make sure you join us on the show. Liz, I don't know if you've gotten that package from Mr. Belfort at the Walk-Off podcast or not, but you still got freebies. So if you all run into Liz, she might.
I got some stuff.
Still have some coasters.
I will give you things. That's my promise of maybe.
There it is. So next week, Blue Jays fans, make sure you tune in. And until then, always have a great evening and let's go Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays go.
Woo!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.